It's time for your morning brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
It was being hyped as a playoff-style game with the top seed in the West. Home court throughout the playoffs on the line. And Michael Malone's Nuggets responded with a 116-107 win over the Minnesota Timberwolves.
The number one seed is there for the taking. And that's what you have to do. You have to go out there and take it against a very good team. And now the challenge is we're on a high right now because it's a very good performance, a really important win, making sure that we bring the necessary focus going down to San Antonio.
Nikola Jokic, 41 points in what should be the crowning achievement on a third MVP for Nikola Jokic. Plenty of other contributions. The bench was terrific. Christian Brown was able to go out and provide some highlight dunks down the stretch, including one where he went right hand to left hand and dunked in Rudy Gobert's grill.
I actually like to dunk. Everybody on the team knows I like to dunk my left hand. I don't usually try in the fourth quarter of a big game like that. But like I said, I didn't want to go over the layup against the best defensive player in the league. So you got to attack him strong. And I don't know. I didn't really plan it. It just happened like that, and it worked out. So that's good.
So here we go. Nuggets have the top seed. Now they just got to make sure they hold on to it because Minnesota does own the tiebreaker over the Nuggets. So the Nuggets have to stay a game clear of Minnesota. They can do that, control their destiny with two wins in their final two games at San Antonio tomorrow, at Memphis on Sunday.
Very doable situation. Very doable toward the end here. Plenty of rest coming up. I like the position they put themselves in, Michael. It'll be interesting to see how much they play or if they play Jamal against San Antonio. That interests me to see just kind of where they are with him. I know they didn't want to play him back-to-back nights.
Right.
But now he's got, how many days does he have? When do they play San Antonio?
Tomorrow.
That'll be interesting.
Maybe sit him out tomorrow?
I wouldn't be surprised to see them sit him out tomorrow and then play him.
I'd flip it. Because San Antonio's actually been playing teams tough down the stretch here.
And plus, they have the win side.
And he is...
tall.
Well, yes. But he's not your typical rookie that hits the rookie wall. He pushed right through it and is playing his best basketball coming down the stretch.
How advanced Joseph describe him?
He is very, very tall. Very tall.
Yeah, you say, what's Wembanyama like? Like? And he go, hey, you know what?
Flacco's tall.
No, yeah, he's tall.
Yeah, he's tall.
He's tall.
As a teen cubby kid. This little tubby kid.
No, he's not tubby. He's 7'4" and lean.
As a team, we're getting
tall. Extreme.
Yeah. Love it. Absolutely love it.
But I would play Murray tomorrow.
And then see where you're at
in the standings then.
Because Memphis. Didn't Memphis start five rookies against them about 3 weeks ago?
Memphis is definitely 1-2-3 Cancun. Spurs are actually showing a little bite down the stretch here. So I'd go with the full group on tomorrow.
Okay.
With the idea that you probably wouldn't need Jamal on Sunday. Then you'd be giving him really a full week off.
You know, it's a great song.
Before the playoffs start. What's that?
Walking on Memphis. I think it's Mark Cohen. Walking in Memphis.
Yeah, with my feet, 10 feet off of Beale?
Yeah, that's Mark Cohen, right?
Mark Cohen? I don't think so. That doesn't seem right.
I was walking in Memphis.
Rogue's looking it up for us.
You don't think I'm right? I'm right about everything.
Cohen.
Yeah, that's Mark what I
Cohen.
Said.
You said Cohen.
Cohen.
You said Cohen.
I did not.
Like the Cohen brothers.
No, I said Mark Cohen.
No, you're right. You got it right. All I'll right. give it to you.
Okay, good.
Begrudgingly.
All right. Good.
You got it.
It's a great tune.
You got it.
Memphis.
Next on the Morning Brew, Adrian Dater, our Avalanche buddy.
Yeah.
Had this little interesting tidbit. So we know that the Phoenix Coyotes are going to be moving to Salt Lake.
Salt Lake City.
So there could be a domino here. AD saying that hearing that if the Coyotes move to Salt Lake, the Avs might make a move to the Pacific Division with the new Salt Lake City team, with Edmonton and Calgary moving to the Central Division. A rumor at this point.
Well, you just get to pick the division you're in?
No, the NHL does it for you, but...
Well, you just said they may decide to move. NHL will decide to move then.
Right.
Would you like to be in the Pacific? But then you got to play the Kraken.
It's a great question. It's kind of like going from the Big 12 to the Pac-12.
It was realignment. Remember when Seattle was in the AFC West?
Yeah.
All those years when we played them?
Sure.
And then they realigned, and next thing you knew, they were in the NFC.
So would I rather the Avs be West. In a division with Dallas, Minnesota, Nashville, Winnipeg, or would I rather they be in a division with Vegas, LA, Seattle? Well, I think I'd like that better. Anaheim.
I think there's more natural rivalries there with Vegas.
Yes.
With LA.
Yes. Yes. Sign me up.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
Utah.
I like it. Sign me up. Next on the Morning Brew, good luck today to the Pios. Denver taking on Boston University in the first of two Frozen Four semifinals. And again, you'll be able to hear it on 104.3 HD as they play BU. The Pioneers beat Boston University way back the last time in 2017. So it's been a while since these two teams have played. Two powerhouse programs. We told you that with this Frozen Four of Boston University, Boston College, Michigan, and Denver, there's a combined 28 national championships between this Frozen Four Blue Blood. BU and DU coming up first. BU is the favorite in this one, but I like the Pios. Like the Pios in an underdog role.
BU, more like PU.
Yeah,
PU. As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's go Pios.
Let's go Pios. Next on the Morning Brew. So the Rockies playing and losing yesterday to Arizona in front of the smallest crowd in 10 years.
I saw it. I watched the game yesterday, and it was sparse, to say the least.
And the night before was sparse. Now, typically, the Rockies' smallest crowds are this time of year. The weather's not that great. The kids are still in school, la-di-da-di-da. But, you know, in the past, they'd have these really small crowds, you know, 22, 23, 24, but you know, now you're down into the 18s. Maybe, just maybe, Mark. Rocky fans are finally getting it. They're starting to send their message.
What were they yesterday? Do you know how many fans they had?
Yeah, it was
yesterday?
About 18.
Which means it was about what, 10?
Oh yeah. Yeah, whatever the announced crowd is, usually subtract about 6 or 7.
Yeah. But we'll see. We'll see if it I don't think it's cause for concern.
If you're Dick Monfort?
No, because like you said, school gets out, the weather gets nice, people love to go to the ballpark.
But you can do an apples to apples comparison, this crowd or these last couple crowds versus other early season April crowds. And these are the lowest they've been in 10 years.
Right. And they're
Is that
these,
blowing your mind?
These are probably the least expectations that you've ever had going into a Rocky season in the last 10 years, too.
As Andrew Mason points out at DenverSports.com, two of the three smallest crowds in the last 10 years of Rockies baseball have come in the past 3 days.
Okay. So Andrew Mason writing a hit piece on the Rockies.
He's just doling out hit pieces. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30.